Please be seated. The next time you are at a dark crossing, or the dark train crosses the road, think about the prophets. There is a connection. Wednesday mornings, if all goes right, Wednesday mowings, I'm driving to Rowlett to meet a group of guys to work out through F3, Fitness, Fellowship, and Faith. And so several times I'm stopped in Rowlett by the train. And sitting there gives me time to ponder. And I just sat there and watched the whole process. The train's there, ready to pull out. And then the alarm, the bells go off. If you're on the track, put a little gas, get over the track, or just stop. But I just go ahead and I stop. And that train is still there. And then the arms come down. Okay? And that train is still there. Then a few seconds pass, and the train starts and goes on its route. And I even noticed that I could be 1 millimeter away from the arm, and I would still be safe. That train's going to go on the track, and there's space between me and the train. Not going to push anything. I stay back more than a millimeter. But there's that margin of safety between that and the train. And then the train goes on to the next station. And the arms come up. And the bells go off. And I can go across. Completely safe with a long series of alerts, warnings. This big train is about to come. And think about that for the prophetic word. We're going to be looking at the prophets for the next several weeks. That they really are giving a series of alerts before judgment. Judgment's the train, okay? Look at it that way. But they're giving you a series of warnings and alerts before that train is coming. Now, I've said before that, and this is for years, I am challenged by or have a hard time with the prophetic word if I don't hear it right. For some reason, it tends to strike me, I think most folks here would remember the term mommy dearest, okay? I think in terms of that they're saying no more wire hangers ever, and in something horrible words like that. But that's really not the case. And so when it comes to reading the prophetic word, think in terms of these 4 points. First, it comes from relationship. God's relationship with God's people. I think of times of being corrected by my parents. If we didn't love you, we would not correct you. If we didn't love you, we would not get the... I mean, I got spanked. That can be debated, but I got spanked. Daddy used the belt. That's okay. I mean, that was the era. But it's because we love you. And I always got an explanation. If I did not fully understand, they would sit there quietly, patiently explain to me why it was wrong, why my behavior needed to be corrected. And always an assurance, the relationship with us is still there. Yeah, don't worry. We still love you. So remember, it's relationship. Also remember, behind every negative command, every negative word, there are two positive principles: to provide and to protect. Remember that these words are ultimately calls to live better and to return to the right path. Again, I think of now I'm driving. I think that at best roads have shoulders. And I remember the day the highways having gravel along the side and then a guardrail and then some space. And then if there's a ditch or something, there's space there. And so I think of you know, don't make me stop this car, don't make me pull over, and occasionally having to just take the wheels, whack a little of the gravel to get you back in line. Worked with us. In fact, one time, Daddy was driving, and we heard the gravel, and my sister and I said, what do we do? What do we do? He said, I'm sorry, I just wasn't paying attention. Wandered a little bit. You're good. So this is a call to stay back into the road, the way that God wants us to go. And finally, remember, these are not just random words given out to people. The people are doing wrong. You're being corrected because you need correction. You need to get back on that path to return to God's plan, God's purpose, God's provision. Ultimately, this is for a point of restoration. All of that to get back in line. That one prophet, one commentator, even referring to one of the prophets, said this person was not so much a social reformer as getting worship right. The idea that if you're right with God, then you will be right with others. The root is God. The fruit is how you are dealing with others. Sometimes it goes after the fruit issues, injustice with the weights, the marketplace, something like that. But ultimately, it's about getting right with God. And so again, it's about getting right. You need corrected. So I want to look at four case studies, two are our scripture lessons, and then draw some conclusions. First, we have Joel. Now, he is speaking at a hard time of a drought and a plague. And for an agricultural society, that's a double whammy. Drought, the crops don't grow. Well, you've got some stored away for time of drought. You got locusts, they're going to get into it and can deplete your resources that way. Believe that he is writing at a time they call the post-exile period, in that the people of Judah had gone into exile, many years later had come back. The walls are rebuilt. The temple is rebuilt. And some of the same old problems that got them into trouble the first time have returned. And a sense that this is judgment for what has happened. You've gotten off track. You've got a drought. You've got locusts. Now, we could camp 3-4 weeks into Joel, so I'm just doing just a tip of an iceberg here. But one thing he speaks about is a day of the Lord, and that is a day of judgment, of making things right, but that leads to restoration. Here he has beautiful verses about, I will pay back, repay the years that the locust ate. That's how it is rendered in some versions. What will follow in 2:28 is that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams, young men visions, even slaves, male and female. I will pour out my spirit on them. In Acts, the great day of Pentecost, that verse is referenced. So in a sense that we are living in that season of restoration. Yes, he speaks of judgment, but with a hope of restoration. Maybe you have had in your life a drought or a time of locust. The classic example is that someone caught up in addiction, or maybe someone a season being focused on wrong priorities. An older man, kind of respected for his walk with the Lord, was asked by someone, you know, I'm approaching a certain decade. What advice can you give me for that decade? And the older man had to say, well, actually, that one was not one of my better decades. I really did not have my right priorities. I didn't put my time in ways that I don't appreciate. I regret. So basically, don't do what I did in that decade. That's nothing. It's not a case of do what I did, but don't do what I did. A sense that had been, for him, a lost decade in his life. Could be stuck with a lack of joy, refusing to look to the light. But it's a reminder that God can restore and renew. A man spoke openly about his active addictions and recovery and saying, the Lord has restored the years those locusts ate from me. One man shared about his father who professionally was highly successful and was incredibly unhappy. At about 70, he came to Christ and said it was amazing. He was happier those last 5 years of his life than he had been in the 70 before that. Now, the clock cannot be turned back. But what comes in restoration can be so good and such a blessing and so fruitful. It is like the years that locust took from me have been restored. Restoration can come. And then we have Hosea. Now, he's an interesting fellow, too, speaking primarily to the northern tribes, though he was from the south, southern tribes. And that makes him odd at first, but about 200 years, northern kingdom, southern kingdom, they're separate. And sometimes they're at war with each other, they're at odds. And sometimes, I would compare the more the U.S.-Canadian relationship. And, you know, once before other circumstances in the world changed, you could basically drive into Canada, show your driver's license, maybe a birth certificate, and get into the country. In the world's longest unguarded border. And so this is a time when travel seems to have been easy, and he is up there speaking to the people. And he had a very interesting circumstance in his life with his wife, Gomer. Believed that she was a temple prostitute. And he basically got her out of the life, kind of like Pretty Woman, got her out of the life to quit the business. She goes back and he restores her. And I said, well, that's what the Lord, you have been faithful, you've been unfaithful, but God will restore, wants to restore you, to bring you back. Writing this down and then went to one of my favorite resources. As I had Dr. Newsom at Columbia Seminary. Ever want to study the older about the prophets? He's got a good little summary book here for you. Smiling Jim Newsom, we called him. But anyway, he had his points. He said, it's very simple. Israel is the people of Yahweh. Israel has rejected Yahweh's love and covenant. Yahweh is calling for Israel to come back. Israel will be punished. But in the end, Yahweh's love, there will be restoration for the people. The goal that the people would be restored. God is seeking restoration, renewal. We see those examples in Jesus Christ. Simon Peter is with one of the disciples, and he, of course, is often spouting off, speaking before he thinks. He is there with them at the Last Supper, and Jesus says, "You know, I'm going to be gone. Once one of y'all is going to betray me. Well, it won't be me, Lord. You're going to deny me three times. Oh, no way! I'll go with you, even to death." Well, Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is arrested. Impulsive Peter knocks off the ear of one of the slaves of the Romans. Jesus heals him. He's off. Peter skedaddles. But he watches from a distance. And he can see what's going on in the trial. And he has an accent. He's from Galilee. And three times someone says, "Were you with that guy? Because you're not from around here." And I wonder if it was said like this. Now, Southern speech is highly nuanced. It's how do you look and how do you say something? So I could say, "You're not from around here, are you?" Meaning, let me help you figure things out. Friendly, with a smile on my face, said in a friendly way. Or you could say it like this. "You're not from here, are you?" Which means, watch your step, okay? You're getting some very dangerous territory. And I suspect he heard it that way. And Peter denied him three times. Jesus was not surprised that Peter had failed. He had even prayed that he would not fall away, that he would stay, I pray for you and all of this. And yet he said, he denied. I love the way the writer, Nay Bailey, is sharing this, and I'm just sharing some of her insights. She really stood out to her that in the account of the resurrection, that the angel says, he is risen, he is not here. Go tell his disciples and tell Peter. Making a point that Peter knows that tell us this has happened. In one of the post-resurrection appearances, they're out there fishing and they don't catch anything. And Jesus comes and he says, go fish on the other side. And they catch. And at that point, Peter jumps into the water, impulsive, and runs up and swims up. Kind of a running. Swims up to Jesus. And he found the love and forgiveness there. A scene where Jesus is cooks fish for the fellas. And there's actually a site on the Sea of Galilee. That's the traditional site where it took place. And three times, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Way since each one being canceled out. Every time he denied, it's been canceled out by this. Where Satan loves to make the most of our failures, he can assume the role of the accuser, causing us to think I'm totally inadequate or not spiritual enough. I'm not doing enough for God. But in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and we are restored. And Peter was restored as well. Final story coming to mind. Common topic for sermons is the woman caught in adultery. She's brought before him, before Jesus. Now, Moses' word said we're supposed to stone someone like this. Of course, a few technical points there. If she was caught in adultery, that means there was somebody else present who was not brought forward. And Moses' word says, man and woman, takes two to tango, they're both to be stoned. So if you want to get really accurate, if you caught, and that's what's believed, that might have been actually with a Pharisee. That was kind of a set up job. And basically Jesus says, let the one not sin cast the first stone, and he just begins to draw in the sand. Now, was he just doodling? Was he writing out things like, remember that night? Or remember that time you said you were going to Sidon, but you went to Tyre? Yeah, maybe this, maybe that. Because it said the oldest started leaving, one after the other. So maybe it was a case of, let me remember about this, remember about that. They all left. And Jesus says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't say it was perfectly all right. He didn't say, now bless your heart, we all got our problems. He said, go and sin no more. So clearly acknowledging what you have done is wrong. I would think implied as well as the other fella, but I'm not going to throw the stone at you. That's my option. I'm choosing not to do so. You've got a new start at life, a new hope for restoration. I'm going to pull up the time. I've got one more story to share on that, contemporary story. And I'm going to give the short version because of our time. But a pastor shares about his stories back in the 70s when he had much longer hair, kind of a lost long-haired hippie fella. He was in a small town, and there's another story how he ended up there. And he'd already had one encounter with the sheriff who did not like long-haired hippie fellas. And he's working, this fella's working at a fish market. The fish have been caught. They're basically getting it set up, taken end to end. And this is in Florida. The fish come from out in the Gulf. Well, he's getting a little hungry, and I'll go ahead and take one of these fish home with me to eat. So that's already theft. But because it had not gone through customs, it's considered smuggling. Two charges. Goes to court and put on probation. Well, during that time, he has encountered some Christians, comes to Christ, going to Bible study. Maybe I need to go to Bible college. Okay, he's on the right path. And some people there said, you know, there's this one school, you know, we're going to a local Bible college. It's just started out and it doesn't have its final year yet. So we're going to finish out our study career at this place in North Dakota. And so he thinks, maybe I'll just go to North Dakota. He's not thinking. So he's there going to Bible college. And all of a sudden, federal agents show up with a warrant because, oh, you've crossed state lines. You forgot to tell your aide. You forgot to tell your probation officer. Oh. And so he's brought before the judge. And the judge looks at the case. And that man says, I felt like then the stones are ready to come at me. Definitely guilty of being dumb, but young and dumb. But anyway, the judge said, the goal here is rehabilitation. And I think this young man being here in North Dakota, where he could not find trouble if he went looking for it, is the place he needs to be. The agents are saying, but we've got a warrant to take him back. And the judge says, and I'm the judge. Case closed. And from that, he began his journey of restoring his life. Now, what would this mean for us today? It may be you're here and there's a drought from your life. A plague, a past failure that is weighing on you. And maybe there is a repentance or restoration that needs to take place between other people. But remember, God is seeking to restore you, to renew you, and to cast it away. Maybe wherever route you're on, you can hear some of those bells ringing, like the crossroads of a dart line. The train's still there, but you need to stop now, or the arms have come down. Maybe this is it. Or maybe you just need to hear these words, that the purpose of any prophetic word, of any word of caution, of judgment, is ultimately restoration to use later. Sometimes we learn things that we don't need immediately, but we need to keep in mind because the day is going to come when you're going to need it. Maybe that's your case. In the end, remember this. Our God seeks restoration. That when there are words of judgment, hard words, words that we need to hear that are not comfortable, it is a call to return, to stop doing what you're doing, start doing something else. But also, it's with a hope of restoration and renewal. That judgment is meant to be correction and not totally cast out. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And in Jesus Christ, restoration is always available. Thanks be to God. Amen.